You know, I wonder if the church has become so strong. They're too strong to love one another. They're too strong to forgive one another. They're too strong to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus. You see, if that is the case, every believer should say, I'm so discontented. I'm not doing anything.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill's series from the Epistle of Philippians continues with the conclusion to the message, The Secret of Contentment. Let's join the study.
See, listen, contentment means I have all I need in the one who can provide everything that I do need. Amen? And his name is Jesus Christ. It's not self-sufficiency, it's God-sufficiency. No matter what our circumstance might be, it says in Isaiah 40, 31, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew, that word means change, renew or change their strength. It's not about me anymore. Lord, it's your strength. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, our sufficiency, meaning our self-sufficiency, is from God. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We live in a time when the majority of the world believes that in things or money or this or that will be content or great wealth. Listen, you know, if great wealth, a lot of money made people happy, I mean, I don't want to be without money, and neither do you, but if great wealth made people happy, wouldn't you say that they should be the happiest people on earth? They should be the most content people on earth. Amen? Are they? No, and neither are they. See, it's a war. Poverty or rich, it doesn't matter. There's an equal trial of one. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. Someone wrote and said this, wealth is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. What a word. Here's what I see, and I want you to ponder this when you go home. This is what I see in the church today, in this post-COVID time. And we are in post-COVID, praise the Lord. And not only that, we must wake up because, you know, this is, like I told you at the very beginning, I said, this too shall pass, remember? I said, it's going to pass. But I said, we can't let down. We've got to keep moving on with the Lord. Listen, there are things that are coming right now. You must be in the Word of God and apply the Word of God to get through the things that are ahead of us. It's not going to get easier, loved one, unless we use God's Word and apply it to our life and our situation. Now, with all that being said, here's what I see that's happening in the church today, and it is this. We are surrounded right now by circumstances. Okay, now listen. Circumstances means the things that surround you in your life, okay? So we are surrounded by circumstances of two things. Number one, convenience. Number two, comfort. We are not surrounded by lack. Do you understand? No, but you know what? But we're not content. We have every luxury in the world in this nation, don't we? Oh, come on. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I went back to the lunchroom. You know, we eat lunch in the cafe, you know, Monday through Friday. I was in there warming up my lunch. And, you know, there's a microwave back there. Microwave. You put food in it and punch a button. Well, I don't know how. They're still teaching me. This is the truth. They look at, I know, look, you should think, I know what the staff thinks of me, but they don't want to tell you. You know, the cheese is gone, man. Listen to me. So, I don't know if it was Cisco or somebody. I was trying, okay, what button do I push? Maybe it was Abby, I don't know, somebody. And they said, don't you know anything about a microwave? And I said, do you know that we only put a microwave in our house about 7-8 years ago? Every mouth in the cafe. It was like, did I just sin? You know, I mean, and you know, you said, you don't have a microwave. Oh, I can't cook. I can't do anything without a microwave. You know, listen, you know, when I grew up with my sister, do you think that we had a dishwasher? No. You know who the dishwasher was? Me. You know, when I said, go wash the dishes today, kids don't know how to wash dishes. You know, no, you didn't mean you don't have a dishwasher or trash compactor. No, we put it over there and then it just does it. You just put some kind of little thing in there. I don't know, it's a little, I don't know, it's colored, and you put it down in there and turn it on. No, wait a minute. No, you know, wash dishes. You know, what is that? Put them in the sink. Fill that sink with hot water. Get your wash rag. Remember? You know, a little soap. Then you rinse them. Then you dry them off, and then you put them in the cabinet. I've never done that. Do you know that there are kids, they have never done that? You guys aren't with me. We are so discontent. Listen, when my father built my sister who raised me, her home, you know, I just went out there just recently. It was actually it was her 89th birthday. And I mean, you remember, she's a tough girl, man. I mean, she's the type, you know, like the one Christmas, buy me a hard hat, Bill. Okay. You know, next Christmas, I need a tool belt, all right? She can't see it but out of one eye. You know, she plays golf, and of course she hits that golf, hits people, and you know, she's a fearless woman. Guess how many square feet were in that house, or still in that house? 800 square feet. Do you know that she raised me, a wild teenager, her son, her daughter, her husband, all of us in that house with only one tiny, I mean tiny, bathroom. That's it. You ever five people sharing one bathroom? Oh, yeah. And when you're a teenager, you have to put that Brill cream on your hair, and you've got a comb because you're going to school, baby. You're not with me, are you? No, listen. And you know what? Let me ask you a question. Back then, oh, you're talking about our homes today. How many square feet? I mean, it's like, you know, 2,000, 3,000. I mean, it's incredible. You know, did homes back then when I was growing up, did they have a garage? No. You know. Well, listen. Think about it. See, but now, my garage door opened. There's no power in the house, and I can't open it. Well, get out of your car. Pull that thing up. You don't know how to open a garage door anymore. Why? I'm not content with that. Oh, listen. I mean, listen. I've been in my home for 35 years. And my neighborhood used to be full of old people. Now I'm the old person. But there were no kids. Now there are kids everywhere. And you know what? Our streets are big streets. They're not the kind that you see today where you don't have any street. You got to fight to get through to go home. Well, these are those old-timey wide streets. But now there are cars parked all over the street and not in their garages. You know why? Their garages are full of discontent. You raise that garage door and you go, oh, my Lord. All that stuff that's in there. Someone said this, you know, he describes houses as a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. No, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, listen as I read, now godliness or Christ-likeness with contentment is great gain. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Amen. We don't have to worry. Loved one, no. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We were born, and we're going to die. A to B. Look at all that accumulation. Huh? Oh, my gosh. You ever just wanted to go into your house and just say, I'm giving it all away? I mean, wouldn't it be to open up your pantry and go, there's nothing there but dirt. You understand? All the junk. And you know what? Most of us, let's be honest, we don't even know what we have anymore. We have so much. We go, I pulled out, and I said, Becky found a shirt. I'd been looking for it for a year. A year. And she said, I found your shirt. I said, where was it? She said, it fell behind the dryer. You know, I'd given up on it. I don't know why I told you that. Now Becky's going to say, they're going to think I don't clean house. No, she's a great house cleaner. Loved one, listen to me. Everything we have, A to B, birth to death, everything we accumulate, we're not going to take us with it. It's going to stay right here in what we call space and time. We're going to go out the same way, unless we're raptured, we're going to go out the same way that we came in. Job said it this way in Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. Jesus said this, take heed, beware. Those are good words. Beware, take heed of covetousness, wanting more and more and more, thinking that more and more and more will make you content. He says, for life does not consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. You know, Jeff Bezos or whatever his name is? He's the richest man in the world. I think somebody said he was worth like $800 billion. I don't know if that's right or not. It doesn't really matter. I can't count that high. But you know, he just bought himself what's called a super yacht. It's one of the largest in the world, nearly 500 feet long. It takes 60 people full-time just to man it so he can drive across the ocean. Or not drive, sail across the ocean. I'm not much of a seaman. Do you understand? I mean, it costs $500 million. Listen, how long you think you're going to be content? There you are in your stateroom. When is that lobster going to get here? You know? I mean, hello. It's crazy, loved one. No, listen. Things will never make any person, Christian, non-Christian, will never make a person content. Listen to what the Bible says about contentness. It says in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and clothing. Paul says this, food, clothing. Clothing actually in the Greek there means shelter, okay, a home. Having food in a home or food and shelter. He says, with these we shall be content. I'm going to ask you a question. Do we have more than just food and clothing and a home, apartment? Do we? Yeah, listen, if I went out and counted all the cars out there, how much do you think that would total up cost-wise? Listen, but the question is, are you content? I mean, you know, my house is too small. Well, you know what? You should be back with me. I shared a little 10 by 10 with I call him my little brother. I'm his uncle. You know what I mean? We shared the same closet. We were so poor, when we went to school, we had to share the same yearbook. That's true. That's how poor we were, you know? I mean, think about all that. You know, in that little house, I never felt that little house was small. I never felt that Steve over here and I'm in that little bed, and the bed was about this wide. We had a closet that was about that big, and we didn't care because we just wore Levi's. There was no designer duds, you know what I'm saying? None of that cut up pants and all that. Well, we were real people. Do you understand? Or my house is just too big. Oh, man, I can't believe I have to clean this house. Hello? You know, oh, I've got to go grocery shopping. And then you get to the grocery store and tons of food everywhere, more so than anywhere in the world. And there you get to shopping. I'm in a hurry. I've got to hurry. And then you're the fourth in line. And then the person at the very front, food check, you know, price check, you know. And you're going, ha! You know, you're not content. You want out of here. And you're like, open up that other lane right now. What's wrong with you people? I've seen that. Oh, no, not content. I've got to clean this big old house. Well, there's people, you mean you have a house? Oh, it's such a struggle to open those big doors to my walk-in closet. And, oh, gosh. And you know, like I told the early service, today, and this is not new, but it's new to me, you can open up those doors and there's no light switch in those closets. You know what I mean? The lights just come on. It's in the jamb of the door or something. You know, now, I still have a pull string. You know, you think I do. At my closet, there's a click. And you know what? Some of you've never seen a pull string. You would look at it, what is that thing dangling down from the ceiling? Why is that there? I mean, you understand this? How sick we are? We're not content, loved one. Listen, it's horrible. You know, I got to take my Mercedes or any car, my Mercedes in for repair. I don't know what it is, but I thought about it. I wrote this down. You ready? It might be the blind spot warning system. It might be the pedestrian detection alert. It might be the forward collision warning. It might be the lane departure. But I believe it's my facial recognition software that opens the door for me. We are in trouble. We are surrounded with circumstances of convenience and luxury. And we're not content because we don't apply the Word of God and we don't live in the Word of God. We need to do that, loved one. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:7, command those who are rich in this present world not to be puffed up. Don't be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. He says, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you catch that word? Enjoy. God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It's not a sin to be rich. It's a sin to love money. Amen. Do you have a boat? Enjoy it. I don't know, make you feel guilty. Why? God gave it to you. Get out there, go skiing, go fishing. Yeah. You have a swimming pool, get in it. You never use it anyway, but get in it. All you do is pay for the chemicals and you got to get it done, but nobody uses it. You don't turn the light on at night. Oh, the pool? You don't go outside, oh, there's mosquitoes now. There's such discontentment in everything that we do. Listen, never, ever feel guilty about the things that God has given unto you. You know what you're to do with those things? Enjoy them. But never trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Now, let's return to verse 13, and let's drive this home, if you don't mind. Paul says now, in context with what we've learned about discontent and being content and being abased and being hungry and being full and doing without and all the circumstances that may surround us in our lives. Now he says about all those things that I just said, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Loved one, listen. Do you really, and I love you and I'm challenging you, okay? Do you really believe that verse? Do you really believe it? Listen, the secret of contentment is not being in the circumstance. Do you understand? This is very important what I'm telling you. See, our circumstance is always changing. I told the early service, I'm telling you the same thing. I believe the Lord just brought that back up. And that's this. I wish that when I first became a believer, that someone would open the Bible and said, verse 13 is the most misquoted verse in the entire Bible, and it's applied in so many wrong situations. Does that make sense? I wish they'd told me, Bill, this verse here, you're going to go through circumstances in your life. Here's this decade, and then there's circumstances in this decade. But the next decade, they change. Do you understand me? See, I wish somebody had told me about that all the way back then. So young people, listen, you need to learn right now this verse and apply it to the circumstances that you're going to go through in your life, whether you're doing without, I can't afford to buy a home, or whatever it might be in your life. You need to be able to apply that scripture, for circumstances are always changing. But when you are in Him and His strength, meaning Jesus, He never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you content? Listen, do you remember when you first got saved, when you first were born again, when you first came to Christ? Do you remember how you felt inside? And maybe you didn't understand anything about the Bible, like me, I didn't. But I knew that I was born again and I was content. I was so at peace. I didn't want for anything. Does that make sense? I just was in love with Jesus. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And you know, if I didn't have anything, it didn't bother me anymore. Do you understand? I had an inner contentment like never before. Incredible peace and joy. What about you? What about now? Is it still there? You remember? You know, when I first came to the Lord there on the beach, it was during the hippie days, you know, And a bunch of us guys, you know, the long hair, the bell bottoms, the beads, you know that, you know, and all the junk that went with it, flower kids, whatever, that stupid stuff. But we rented a house, a two-story house, wooden. It was beautiful, old, like an 1800 Victorian thing. But it was right on Jack's Beach, man, right there was the water. There was no furniture. There was no running water. There was no electricity. You know, we didn't have a dime. But you know what we did have? We had our Bibles, and we would bring a lantern into the house. We slept on the floors. We didn't care. We'd get in a circle and sit on the floor, and you know what we'd do? We'd read a scripture, and then somebody go, read that again. And we'd read it again. He'd go, somebody said, what do you think that means? I don't know. Keep reading. We were babies. Do you understand me? But we were content. I mean, we were content, and we didn't need pot anymore to be content. Do you understand me? We were in love with Jesus. We weren't worried about tomorrow. We weren't worried about anything. We weren't worried whether we were going to get a job or what kind of education we were going to have. We just were in love with Jesus. That's the church must get back to that. Amen. And be content in Him who provides everything that you need. You know, the reason for discontentment, loved one, talking to you now, the reason for discontentment is that you have not learned. Paul says, I learned. You have not learned this, that Jesus is all you need. He's all you need. I'm going to read and close out with a scripture that I've read to you many, many times. I'm going to read it from my favorite version because I read it often to myself. The circumstances that comes into my life or the burdens or whatever is happening. And I'll go to this and I'll just embrace it. I want it to be alive every day in my heart. Let me read it to you from the Amplified Version, Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your character, let your disposition be free from the love of money, meaning from greed, from craving earthly possessions. Now, let me tell you why. Are you ready? It says, be content. I love that word. There's that word again. Be self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Be content. Be satisfied with your present circumstances, the things that are surrounding you in this life, the secret of contentment. He says, be satisfied or be content with your present circumstances and with what you have in that circumstance, okay? And here it is. Listen to these promises that belong to you. He says, for he, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Three times he goes, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold upon you. He says, assuredly not. In other words, amen and amen. It is immutable, it's infallible, it is true and certain. He says, assuredly not. So take comfort, be encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? This is one of the greatest epistles in the Bible, loved one. We have learned, listen, in chapter 1, remember in 121, Christ our life. For me to live is Christ, Paul said. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In chapter 2, we found that Jesus was our example. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we get chapter 3, verse 10, oh, that I may know him. He is our goal, that I may know him. That's a beautiful word. That doesn't mean facts about Jesus, the word know. It means to know intimately, to know him, to know his presence, to be with him, to follow him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And now we say, well, Bill, how is all of that accomplished in our life? We just told you the secret. It's verse 13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me and strengthens you. Loved one, listen to me. You and me, all of us, we will never, the church, we will never be content in this world if we are apart from Christ. And if we don't put that verse in proper context and walk through every circumstance in this life in the strength of another, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Well, we've been blessed with another week of Bible study, and we want to thank you for being part of our radio family. Pastor Bill will be back on Monday to continue his Philippians series, and we trust you'll tune in once again. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll look for you again on Monday. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.